Good morning.
Morning.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Everyone say with me, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we're living in some interesting times, aren't we? And I tell you what, we're going to be seeing some more incredible time, tumultuous times coming, especially in our political thing that's happening in our nation. And there are storms a brewing, people. There's storms a brewing, and we need to prepare ourselves for them. And I believe that through the Word of God, we can do that. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, even though my brother prayed, I'd like to come before you again also, Father. I believe that we have a demonic spiritual warfare coming against families, against situations in their lives, against churches. And Lord, I would hold families up, especially in Crossfire Assembly, that are being attacked by the enemy, that I take authority, we take authority over them in the name of Jesus. We rebuke them, we resist them in Jesus' name. We come against critical spirits. We come against doubting spirits. We come against fearful spirits to be gone in the name of Jesus. They have no place. They have no room in our lives as your children, Heavenly Father. And we depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide us in our thinking, in our thoughts also, Lord. We commit this morning to you, this day to you right now, Lord. And Lord, I proclaim the blood of Jesus Christ over each family and over this church, this property, and over our lives in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for what you will be doing in our lives, Lord, as we face each day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Storms will come. Not only in just the weather, but storms will come. Just a few days ago, I got a call from a young man about another young man who had taken his life. He became hopeless. Hopeless with life. And see, we've got the answer right here, people. And you never know that the person that you've talked to or in the restaurants or the filling station or the grocery store, or the next door neighbor, you never know what's going on, what kind of a storm they're facing in their life. They may have a smile on their face, but there may be turmoil going on inside. And that's why we ask the Lord to help us be ever present, thinking about his word and living his word in our conduct, our actions, and our speech, because we never know that we may be ministering into somebody's life, that we can reach these people who become hopeless without God. And we have the answer. We have the answer, the perfect storm. Robert Munger, 20th century theologian and pastor in the Southern California area, he was in a storm. And this is his own story in his own words. It says, being assaulted by winds and walls of waves and wildly tossing sea was like being run over by a train in a dark tunnel. We knew the typhoon was coming, but I, for one, hadn't expected it to pack such a wallop. Everything was battened down as we prepared to take a direct hit. Those of us who were on the deck had our slickers on, similar to the old yellow slickers used by New England freshmen. Being a novice to things of the sea, I hung mine up by a hot pipe a few days before, and the heat had melted all the oil from the fabric. Now my slicker leaked like a sieve. It wasn't much good, but it was all I had to wear as the ship shuddered and pitched into the huge mountains of brine and foam. It was fast approaching midnight. As I made my final rounds on deck, everything I saw brought a physical terror. The lights of the ship reflected only a few feet over the water. Each wave became visible only as it reared to crash. More than once I thought, what if I were washed overboard while making my rounds? No one would even know. I would be lost forever in a violent, angry sea. The possibility of death was enough to focus my mind. But almost as terrifying as drowning was the fear of falling into darkness and death all alone. No one to see. No one to hear, no one to report, the blotting out of my life, caught, trapped right there in the eye of the storm. Fearful time, huh? I mentioned last week, if you saw the the big cruise ship on the ocean with the 100-foot waves. That's what I was thinking of when I was reading this story, too. As big as that cruise ship was, it was nothing compared to the 100-foot waves that were rocking it back and forth and up and down. I'm sure everybody on there was running for their lives wherever they could find, hopefully to survive whatever was going to happen. I don't know what storms in your life you've had to face, people, whether it's literal or figurative storms. Literal storms, maybe at sea, maybe on land. Maybe with the snow and maybe with the ice we just went through in our winter here. Maybe your storms have been with the rain or the wind. And some of you, I'm sure, have stories to tell and stories of survival. And I know you survived them because you're here today, right? You're here. Stories of mental or spiritual storms if you pass through. And I know what those are like. I passed through those myself. Maybe it's related to work. Maybe you have a storm at work. And maybe it's related to your livelihood, related to your colleagues at work. Maybe it's your relationships at home, perhaps with family members. I'm hearing and getting stories from families, not that in this church necessarily during the week too, that are right now in the middle of a storm in their marriage, middle of the storm with their children right now, that they're calling up and needing prayer and saying, what can I do? What do I need to do? How can I get through this thing? And they're crying out and hanging on because they're in the middle of a storm. Is all they can see is the turmoil around them, and they can't see where their help is coming from. And I don't know what storms you've been through, but I do know that all of us at some time or another have had experience in which we have felt life that we are so tiny, aren't we? We're so tiny, tossed around like that little cargo ship in the middle of the ocean, tossed around as if in the middle of a storm that would not go away. Sometimes storms seem like they're never going to end, do they? They're there continually, it seems like. And then with our lives in danger, with chaos threatening at any moment to undo us and to rip our life away, that's the way we feel when storms hit us. Thrown in every direction. And today, if you've ever been in a storm or are in a storm right now, I want you to think through a storm that the disciples and Jesus went through. It was a furious storm, and it was a hurricane-type storm when you read that. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I'm going to read from Luke chapter 8, verses 22 and 25 here. And listen to this. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying to one another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. You know, when Bob was mentioning Jesus being here today, the Lord is here today, I don't know, I'm just going to say this. I put me back thinking about the Israelites when they left Egypt. Who was leading them by day and by night? The Lord was, wasn't he? What did Moses get tired of the people doing? Complaining and murmuring and griping and nitpicking. He got tired of them. But who was with them every day? I bet the people didn't feel the Lord every day, did they? But he was there. Even in the midst of their griping and complaining and nitpicking, our God was leading and protecting and meeting all their needs in the middle of their storm and their wilderness experience. He was there. And he's here today, whether you feel him or not. Doesn't make any difference. Jesus is here. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, he's here. He's here. No matter what you and I think. I like the Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. There's no human being on this earth that's experiencing a trial that maybe someone else hasn't through life. No one. Someone else is experiencing the same thing or has gone through it. And there are many who do not seem to understand this. The disciples seem to be shocked that they were in this position. After all, Jesus was with them. He was in the boat with them. Wouldn't God protect his Messiah? Wouldn't the Lord protect Jesus and therefore protect his followers? If he's protecting Jesus, we know we're okay too, right? Can you imagine him thinking that maybe or questioning that? How then could this happen that they were in this position? I sometimes meet people of the same feeling of shock when some storm comes into their lives and questioning, didn't I do all the right things? Didn't I do all the right things? Isn't God supposed to watch out for his own? I've heard people say these things to me in the middle of their storms. Doesn't he protect those who he loves? How can this be happening to me? And I'm sure those are the questions which were marching through the heads of the disciples too. In the book of Hebrews, there's a fascinating passage. It was talking about Abraham and the wonderful promise God made to him. But then this verse really stands out to me when I read it. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15 says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Long suffering. God's working in us, even in the middle of a storm in your life. But when I read that, it says, "And so after he patiently endured." When he's in the storm, he endured it. And then look at the promise. He obtained the promise. When you and I find ourselves in a storm of life, no matter what that is, whether it's a big storm or a small storm, no matter what kind of storm, if we endure, if we have long-suffering, trusting Jesus, he will get us through and we will see his promise of deliverance and healing and calm and peace when we stand in the middle of the storm. That's the word of God right there in Abraham's life. God promised and he kept his promise. And it says Abraham obtained that promise. And so many times people don't obtain the promise of God because they say, "I'm going to play God in my own storm and I'm going to fix my own thing." And they mess it up even worse. And they miss what God could have done easily for them. But back to the storm in Luke. And the first one we have is the crisis that they're in. In verse 23 again, "There came down a storm of wind and they were filled with water." They were filled with water. That's pretty frightening if you're on a boat. I remember being on my dad's little 12-foot fishing boat on Lake Minnewaska over by Alexandria there, and the wind came up and the waves were roughly right around 2 feet high. That was big when you're only in a little 12-foot boat. And boy, that lake looked 10 times bigger than it was, and boy, that was frightening. And I was about here for that wall away from shore, and I was even concerned whether I was going to get that little boat back there. Because I had a little 3.5 horse motor on it. It could barely... And that little thing really bothered me. But the disciples, they had a storm, a furious storm. A hurricane type storm. Probably coming down from the mountains surrounding the lake there. And the wind came down. And it was no ordinary breeze blowing. This was a Hurricane Andrew type storm. And Luke writes here that the storm was so bad that the ship was full of water. The ship was full of water. And there was other little recording in Matthew and Luke, or Mark also, there was other little ships around too. Mark chapter 4:37 wrote in his account of the story that waves were beating the ship, that it was full of water. Matthew 8:24 in his account said that the waves covered the ship. Those were some big waves coming at them in that storm, wasn't it? That's what they were looking at. The disciples were seeing. They were seeing the sea roaring, and they're seeing these waves coming and coming over the top of the ship they were in. And that's the way it is when you and I enter storms of life. We can only see the waves coming in, and it brings fear. It brings all kinds of thoughts and emotions, and we don't know how to deal with it sometimes. So you see, this was one serious storm. that was going on in their lives at that point. They had a crisis on their hands. The ship was full of water. The waves were as high as the boat. And I'm sure they could hear that old ship creaking and cracking in the wind as it was rocking back and forth and going up and down in the waves. And I'm sure all those fears the enemy was putting in their minds, we're not going to make it. They're screaming amongst each other, figuring out how can we get out of this storm, rustling and running here and fro, hiding, thinking they're going to escape the storm. And that's what we do when we enter storms sometimes. We forget and we do those types of things. Things seemed to be falling apart all around them. And they were headed for the bottom of the sea unless the storm ceased. Have you ever felt like that? In your storm of life, storms you've had? The storms of life are blowing so hard that you're about to sink because you can't handle the winds and the rain anymore. You can't do it. It's impossible. The disciples knew what you were going through. When you've been in your storm of life, they know what it is, no matter what the storm is. They know what it felt like. Our storms, sometimes people also can help others. I know some of the storms that I've walked through in life, God has brought people into my life that have been going through pretty much the identical storm, and I was able to minister into their life and let them know you're going to make it. See, your storm is never wasted either if you're in here and you're a born-again Christian, blood-bought, and God has taken you through a storm. You can use that as a witness and that as a ministry to anyone is the storm of life. Because if you're a human being and your heart's beating and you're on planet Earth, you're going through a storm one way or another. When, how, you don't know, but you will. But see, when we evolve, the us that have lived longer, don't even have to live long nowadays. There's little children that are walking in storms of health or whatever too. But whatever that storm is, you can use that storm as a witness to someone else and to show God's faithfulness that he is able to deliver. They didn't think they were going to make it. And it was one serious crisis that was confronting them. And I don't know a whole lot about being in a boat while there was a storm like that going on, but I can talk about a bit about being in a storm. I can do that. See, losing a mother or a father is going through a storm, isn't it? Losing a spouse or a child or a job, those are going through storms of life. Those are storms. And even today in our modern culture, going through a storm in the church today is a storm. What's going on in our churches today? And the Word of God being messed with. Our belief system is being set upside down. That's a storm that we're involved in today. Relocating can be a storm in our life. All of them. And all of you have been through some of those storms as well. And some of you may be facing the crisis of a storm right now, and you're not sure how if you will ever get out of it. And I'm confronting a family right now that is in that position, more than one. But they don't know if they're ever going to get out of their storm. But I assured them that they will. This too shall pass away, the scripture says. That storm will subside and calm one day, and they'll see God's mercy and his grace and his loving kindness in their life. The disciples were facing a crisis. But notice, secondly, their cry. In verse 24, it says, and awoke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. That was their cry. That was the fear coming out, the unbelief and all those things, because they saw the waves, they felt the ship creaking and cracking, and they're looking at each other and seeing the fear and what are we doing? What are we going to do? But I put it here. There's one thing the disciples did right during the storm, people. There's one thing they did right, is that they went to the only person who could handle it. They went to Jesus. And many times when you and I find ourselves in a storm, our first thought is, let's go to some person. Let's go to the bank. Let's go to the doctor. Let's go to here. Let's go to there. And we forget about Jesus. That's what they did. They went to Jesus. They headed the right direction. They headed the right direction. And if you're in a storm right now in your life, whatever that may be, and you haven't gone to Jesus, go to Jesus. Whether you believe it or not, he is there and he will bring you through. They cried out to him and said, We perish. We are all going to die if you don't help us out, Jesus. And there's some people here today in whose life that storm is raging. There's a storm raging in your life right now. And sometimes it seems like it doesn't end, and you want to still try to take control of it because you don't see things happening the way you feel they should. But that's where we got to come back and say, Jesus. 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 We got to speak Jesus into our storm. In the middle of our storm. And for some in here, it might be financial. For others, it might be a health issue. Still others are being swamped in their area relationships. And we have tried to be a good person and do the right thing, and yet you feel like you're sinking and you want to know the same thing the disciples wanted to know. Jesus, don't you care that I'm drowning? That's what we say to the Lord. Don't you care? Can't you see, Lord, what I'm going through, the hurt and the pain within me through this storm? Don't you care? Are you aware of what I'm going through, Jesus? Are any of you deep sleepers in here? Is there any deep sleepers in here? When you sleep, you sleep. I know people are deep. We got a few in here, don't we? We got them deep sleepers. But here's the disciples, and they're fighting off a storm and trying to bail the water all they were worth, and Jesus is just laying there sleeping. He's in the boat sleeping, and the waves are coming in, the water's coming in, the boat's rocking back and forth, the disciples are screaming, Jesus! But he's sleeping. He's sleeping. The rain was falling, the thunder booming, yet Jesus, he was sleeping on. Made me think of Proverbs chapter 3, 24. And this is the way God wants us to be too. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, though thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. And we're going to see that in the future, should Jesus tarry. We're going to see things happening that are going to bring fear upon this earth. Have you ever felt like the Savior was sleeping while your storm was going on? Have you ever felt like Jesus is sleeping when you cried out to him like, nothing. Maybe it's like Job in Job chapter 23, verses 8 and 9. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. And on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. That was the cry of Job. I felt that way. And I know many of you have. And you know, there will always be times when we may not feel God is near. But it's those times when we can't feel God's presence is that when we need to trust him. We need to trust him in spite of our feelings. It's a faith walk, people. Jesus later asked the disciples, where is your faith? That's an interesting question to ask him in the middle of that storm, isn't it? Where is your faith? God wants us to trust him no matter what, people. No matter what. And sometimes Jesus may even say to you and I in the middle of our storm when we're trying to do our own thing and we're squalling and we're crying and we're bawling and we're looking to other people for feeling good or whatever. And Jesus is saying, where's your faith? Where's your faith? If we only trusted him in the good times, we wouldn't really be trusting him, would we? If it's just in the good times. He wants us to rely on him. For example, my wife here. You want to stand up, Ruth? No, I'm just kidding. Ruth washes all my dirty clothes. But But if I'm not careful, people, if I'm not careful, after a while it becomes easy to begin to take my wife for granted. To take her for granted. Not being thankful, not acknowledging her that she's keeping all my filthy clothes clean so I can look nice and hopefully smell good. But see, if God took care of all of our problems for us before we ever faced them, then we would take him for granted. Wouldn't we? What do you think the Israelites did? They took God for granted. He was there moment by moment, feeding them, clothing them, keeping their clothes good, keeping them in health. No one was sick out of those 6 million plus people because God was there, but they took him for granted. As soon as a problem come along, they started griping and complaining. And we do the same thing sometimes in our storm of life. The first thing we want to do is say, oh, woe is me. Why me, God? Why is this happening to me? Rather than going to Jesus. See, he wants us to rely on him day by day. Did you know that? God wants us to totally rely on him day by day. And I make no apologies when I witness and tell people that either. I tell them, I say, I don't care if you call me a weak person because I need Jesus. I need Jesus, and you will one day too. I quoted verses 8 and 9 from Job. Now I'm going to quote Job 23, verses 1 and 3. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. But verse 10 is the verse that I really like. I get excited when I read verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He's ever working in our storms. As cruel as those storms can be, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost in us, the power of God is doing a work in us to make us more like Jesus, to come forth as gold. That's what he's doing. We may not see it. We may not feel it, we may not hear it, or we not even believe it. But God, in his mercy, in his grace, is doing a work in you and I, preparing us for eternity to live with him. Amen. To be like Jesus. That's what he's doing. I don't know about you people, but when I think about that, I think how exciting it is to see this God that we're going to be seeing, a living God, a real God, a live God that has been with me from the day of my birth. And he chose me to follow him one day and to be born again. What an attitude. What a way to look at storms and lives, huh? If you're in a storm right now, and I know how difficult storms are, I'm not just up here speaking because I've been through storms, but I also know what it is to trust in storms. I've done that. Didn't want to. If I could have fixed it myself, it would have been fixed a lot faster. But it wouldn't have been fixed right. But see, God did something different. He was preparing me for something I had no idea. In a sense, Job was saying, come whatever, I'm still going to trust God. Come whatever. Come whatever. Well, the disciples cried out to God, and that is what we need to do before we get in trouble, when we get in trouble, and after we're out of trouble. We need to cry out to God. So this morning, if you're going through a storm, cry out to God and he will answer. He's going to answer. Guarantee, I know 100% that God is going to answer. He doesn't lie. It's in here. It's in the book. He doesn't lie. Ooh-wee. You're the calmest Pentecostals I've ever met. See, the disciples were in a crisis. They cried out to Jesus. And notice next, the command. Verse 24, it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. Jesus did that. I don't know about you, but I like what the song says. Our God is an awesome God. We need to sing that song more. Our God is an awesome God. We need to get that in our spirit to realize that we serve a living, almighty, powerful God that is nothing is impossible for him. Our God is an awesome God. And did you know we serve an awesome God, people? Did you know we serve an awesome God? I serve an awesome God. And I'm not ashamed to tell anyone that because he's awesome. Buddha and Huda and Muhammad and whoever else, they're dead. Jesus is alive. He's an awesome God. So this morning, if you're going through a storm, he will answer. Whatever your problems may be this morning, what you need to do is sit still and listen to God's voice. You need to listen to God's voice because he's speaking. Jesus spoke and commanded the winds to cease. And I believe that Jesus will speak to our problems if we will sit still long enough to listen to him. And he speaks through his word too, people. If you're not reading the Bible the way you should, daily, God, you're not going to hear God speak. This is his word to us. The Holy Spirit brings it to memory. Amen? People say, God doesn't care about me. He doesn't care that I'm going through such a hard time. He doesn't care. I've had people say that to me, and when they do, I don't say something to condemn them, but I say, he doesn't care about you? He doesn't care about you? He died on a cross, shed his blood, so you wouldn't have to go to hell, and he doesn't care about you? Enough said. Well, I believe that God is still speaking if we stop and listen for him. Once there was a man who dared God to speak. He said, burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight. Still the waves like you did on Galilee, God, and I will listen. And so the man sat by the bush near a wall close to the sea and waited for God to speak. And God heard the man. So God answered. Did you hear that? So God answered. He sent fire, not for the bush, but for the church. He brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin. He stilled the storm, not of the sea, but of a soul. And God waited for the man to respond. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. But because the man was looking at bushes, not at hearts, and not lives, seas and not souls, he decided that God had done nothing. Finally, he looked to God and answered, have you lost your power? And God looked at him and said, have you lost your hearing? Max Licato, by the way, put that out in his book, A Gentle Thunder. See, we notice the command that Jesus made, but then lastly is the calm. This is what we need, don't we? The calm. Verse 24, and they ceased and there was calm. Jesus spoke. Jesus came through for the disciples and he calmed the storm and he spared their lives. And people, with you and I, when we are in storms, there are times when our storms go longer than other storms. But when those storms are done, God brings calm in a moment's time. Amen. He said, it's finished. It's done. And you feel the calm. You feel the relief of the pressure of the storm. The fear is gone. All the anxiety is out the window because Jesus said, it's calm. Storm, be calm. Lest your storm be calm in Jesus' name. Brother Doug, your storm, I call it to be calm in Jesus' name. Jim, I call your storm to be calm in Jesus' name. Jesus is calm. He knows how to calm a storm. If you're in turmoil right now, you cry out to Jesus. Some of you sit in here and you're hurting inside and you're struggling with and you're eaten up inside. God can bring calm to that storm. If you have family members out there in your families and they're going through a storm, you need to share Jesus with them. You need to tell them that there's calm in Jesus. Jesus will calm the storm. If you're facing some difficulties that you can't handle on your own, I want to encourage you to look to the one that can bring calm to the troubled sea of your life. Hebrews 12:2 is one of my favorite verses too, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to be looking unto Jesus, people, not looking at the storm. Not trying to analyze the storm, but we need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He can take the darkest life and turn it into the brightest life one could ever live. And so many people miss that many times, and they'll struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle trying to work out their own deal. And when you know it's impossible for man or yourself to take care of, what's the obvious is Jesus. If the doctors can't find something wrong with me and I'm dealing with something physical, I just say, Jesus, I'm yours. I did that. Driving down 694 when I was going through that vertigo and whatever it was. I just said, I got tired of going to the doctors and the university and all that junk and spending money and everything. I just said, Lord, even if I die of this, I'm going to trust you from now on. Yes. Guess what? Guess what? I'm here! He calmed the storm in my life. He delivered me from that thing, whatever it was. But I didn't care anymore. I just said, Lord, I'm yours. I don't care if I die from this. I'm going to trust you right to the right there. And when I stand in front of you, I'm going to know that you're the healer. But he did heal me anyway. And I praise him for that. He wants to take care of our problems for us, people. But we must rely on him in order for him to do it. He asked the disciples a simple question that I want to ask you this morning again. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Jesus will carry us through to the end, for this is what the Father, this is what the word finisher means when he says, I'm the author and finisher of your faith. Is your faith in what you can do? Is it only in what you can do? Is your faith in the lies that the devil has convinced you of all that, like the lie that Jesus doesn't care? That's from Satan. That's a demonic thought put in your mind by Satan. Look at my neighbor. They don't even go to church and their life is rosy. Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's his mercy and grace in a dying world. In other words, good and bad happen to everyone. The important thing is whether or not we are prepared. Bob, you said it this morning, we have to prepare for what's coming on this earth. That's what the word is here for, to help us to prepare for eternity also. But we need to prepare when storms come into our life. Listen to this. A TV news camera crew was on an assignment in southern Florida filming the widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew. The camera panned the area where, amid the devastation and debris, one lone house was still standing on its foundation. The owner was cleaning up the yard when a reporter approached him and said, Sir, why is your house the only one still standing? How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane? I built this house myself, the man replied. I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to the code could withstand a hurricane. I did it, and it did. It could be that no one else around here followed the codes. It had nothing to do with him. It was about the area in which he lived and the nature of the storms. His job was to be prepared. That man prepared his house. When the sun was shining and the skies were blue, it may seem foolish to put the extra expense and trouble into the building a hurricane-proof house, I would imagine. People probably mocked him. Who knows? But when the hurricane came, it was anything but foolish. It was quintessential wisdom that he did that. The important thing is not trying to understand all the various reasons why storms come, but to be prepared for them when they do, people. We need to be prepared. Where is your faith? If you rely on Jesus, he will calm the troubled storm of your life. No, it doesn't mean that we won't ever have another storm in our life. It doesn't mean that whatsoever. It just means that you will have someone on board who can take care of the winds. When I go into a storm of life, whether it be a meeting at work or a problem at work or anything, I can take Jesus with me and let him guide my thinking and my temperament or whatever I need to get through that and trust him that he will make that meeting come out for my good and for his glory. That's the kind of person that I want to take with me, don't you? I don't want to take Brahm with me when I got problems. He can't do anything for me. He can help me carry something on the other end of a big box or something, but if I get some serious problems going on, he can't help me. But I always know I can call upon Jesus. He may send someone into my life, I don't know, or circumstance, but he's the one, and he's the one I want to take with me. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said," and this is the part I really like here, and it's repeated again in Joshua, the book of Joshua and Deuteronomy, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I say that one a lot in here because it means a lot to me. Because it seems like people sometimes don't understand that Jesus hasn't left them. They will leave churches when the trials and the problems come in. And we shouldn't do that. He is here. If you got problems, we go to Jesus. As the body of Christ, we come together. We lift you up. Because he's here. Jesus is here. Anything can happen. Hallelujah. I want to shout. I want to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. See, if your faith is not in Jesus Christ, then the storms of life are going to sink you. They're going to sink you. But if your faith is in Jesus Christ, he will calm the storm in your life. He will. Notice the disciples' final response in verse 25. "And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Who is this? Who is this? This is the one we submit to in the storms of life, people. His name is Jesus. He's got the power to calm the storm, the winds and the rain and the waves. He just needs to speak a word, be calm, one word, calm, and the waves will calm. If you're in turmoil in your mind this morning, mentally, cry out to Jesus. Speak Jesus' name, even to yourself. Do it in your car on the way home. Speak Jesus. He will bring you calm in the middle of your storm because he is the Prince of Peace. This is the one in the storm with us, and I'm going to finish here. An unknown author wrote, "Lord, I never moved a mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster wouldn't move a small anthill. Yet I'll tell you, Lord, I'm grateful for the joy of knowing thee and for all the mountain moving done through life. You've done for me. When I needed some help, you lifted me from the depths of great despair. And when burdens, pain, and sorrow have been more than I can bear, you have always been my courage to restore life's troubled sea and to move these little mountains that have looked so big to me. Many times when I've had problems and when bills I've had to pay and the worries and the heartaches just kept mounting every day, Lord, I don't know how you did it, can't explain the where's or why. All I know, I've seen these mountains turn to blessings in disguise. No, I've never moved a mountain, for my faith is far too small. Yet I thank you, Lord of heaven, you've always heard my call. And as long as there are mountains in my life, I have no fear. For the mountain-moving Jesus is my strength, and he's always near. Isn't that a beautiful poem? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If there's anyone in here this morning and you don't know this Jesus, this one that can calm the storm of life, and you've never committed to him, or and you don't know him, you don't know, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, or maybe you're in here and you have and you've walked away from him and you've lost your sense of his living for him, and you've backslidden in your life and you need to recommit. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to stay up here after I'm finished here this morning, and anyone who would like to commit their life to Jesus Christ, or if you're backslidden, you say, Pastor, I want to pray with you. I want to recommit my life. I'm going to stand up here and wait for those souls. And if you're not saved, you've never made that commitment. And if you died and went into eternity, your storm will be for all eternity. And it'll be a storm that you will never be able to come out of. And you need to be prepared. And who in here would agree with me right now that knowing that there's storms I've had in my life, and knowing that should Jesus tarry, I'll have some more storms in my life, that I need to continue to prepare? How many would lift their hands and agree with me and say, Lord, help me to be prepared. Help me to be prepared for what's coming into my life and into this world. And Lord, you see all the hands up, Lord. You see our need. We're a needy people. And Lord, we cry out to you as people right now. And Lord, we cry unto you that the power of your Holy Spirit move in our lives, and that you will guide and direct us through your holy word, Father, in the days ahead, and make preparations in our hearts to be prepared for storms. And Lord, not just for ourselves, not to be selfish for ourselves, but Lord, to be like you, to always be ever looking for people that are in storms of life, that we can go to them, that we can be the Jesus that you send forth, that we can speak your name into their hearts and lives, Father, into their storms, that there can be deliverance, that we can represent you, Jesus, because it's you that lives within us when we're born again. Father, I thank you and praise you for the work that you have done and that you are doing, and that I believe you will be doing in this church, in this Crossfire Assembly Church, in the families that are represented, the new families that come in, the new people that come in. And Lord, I thank you, Lord. We've got chairs, Father, ready for those people in storms of life. And Father, I believe in my heart that you are going to fill them through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can minister the gospel to them, that we can pray with them, we can encourage them, we can help them, we can come alongside them, Lord, because we're prepared. We're a prepared church. And Lord, you've been preparing us. And I thank you and I praise you, Father. And now, Lord, I would ask that your hand of grace and mercy be upon each home that's represented here again, Lord. Each and every day, Father, touch their needs. If there's storms that are raging right now, Lord, that Jesus is the center, and he will speak, and he will allow, and he will guide, and he will direct, and he will make that storm calm according to his will. Because, Lord, sometimes our storms are divinely meant to be, to bring us to where we need to be. But, Father, I would ask that you would meet the needs of the people here financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. And I praise you, Lord. Let us be a people, Lord, when we leave here, we're ready to share the good news. That's what it's all about, Lord. Jesus dying on Calvary's cross. For you loved us so much, Father, and you're looking forward to that day when you call your people home. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, hallelujah. Enjoy some good fellowship. Get excited about Jesus. Praise the Lord, Fred. Praise the Lord, man. Lord bless you.